Good morning. This is a rerun. Our microphone wasn't working here yesterday, and so I'm kind of re-preaching this sermon again for those who aren't able to listen in yesterday. And so we don't have announcements or songs, but you'll get the message, and hopefully that'll be a blessing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. We pray that those who are able to listen in might be encouraged and challenged as we think about this mystery that's been revealed in your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, talking about the mystery that it's revealed. And we find different things that are a mystery nowadays. Maybe you've seen those movies or films where usually it's a dog. A family moves from one part of the country to another, and somehow the dog finds its way back home again. Other times there's other mysteries. Came across this one. I thought it was kind of interesting. Somebody had a robe, and they're wondering how to clean it. But the tag said, do not wash or dry clean. Well, what's the other options? Or the one that's a bit of a mystery to me is how a gasoline can go up 10 or 15 cents overnight. Well, today's passage that we're looking at here in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is talking about a mystery. And the one that he's talking about is how God is revealed in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see three things here that we want to focus in on today. The first one being the mystery has been revealed by God. And notice there in verses 1 through 5, he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Now, we'll want to zero in on Gentiles here shortly, but the idea of Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's basically two groups of people in Christ's day. And it was because he's preaching to the Gentiles that he ends up in prison. Verse 2 goes on to say, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given unto me, you word, how that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." And so a mystery. We think of this in terms of what the Bible means in mystery. It's different than the mystery novels or something like that, where there's some question, it's a secret of some kind. Well, mystery, as it relates to the Bible, is something that was formerly unknown, maybe hidden in the Old Testament, but is now revealed in the New Testament through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God discloses or reveals his mystery through revelation. He reveals it to us. He opens it up and shows it to us. And the way that God chose to make his mystery known was through the process of revelation. Not the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible, but the Bible itself, God's word. He revealed his truth to us and given it to us in his word. And the word revelation itself means to make naked or to lay bare. And so God laid bare the truth. Sometimes you've heard the truth hurts. Well, sometimes it does. Sometimes it makes you feel better. But God's not trying to be politically correct here. He's just giving us the truth. And so he lays out the truth in the word of God. And God, or rather Paul, discusses this revelation, as he says there in verse 5. He says, "This mystery has been revealed by the Holy Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." And so this mystery speaks of more than a mystery because of time, God has revealed himself through Jesus Christ. He's been made known unto us. It's not a mystery any longer. He's revealed himself to us. He shows us who he is, what he's like. People want to know, what's God like? Well, you look at Jesus Christ, and you pretty much see what the Father is like as well. They are the same. And so it's more than a mystery to us, this process of revelation. God has laid bare himself, gives us the truth. And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, it says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. And so God has given us his word. He wants us to know about him. He wants us to know about creation, where we came from, how sin came into this world, how we can get rid of sin, how we can be saved and know for sure that we're headed for heaven. What's going to happen in the future? It's not just a big question mark out there. God's revealed truth as to what's yet ahead of us. What's going to happen when we die? All in this is much more than this. That's been a mystery to man. God has revealed to us through his word. And he's given us the truth. So it's no longer a mystery. A second thing we want to notice here is that mystery, it's more than a mystery, because it's revealed to everyone. Notice in verses Ephesians 3, verse 6 through 9, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles and the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, what is from the beginning of the world hath been laid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And Paul's saying here, now anyone can have access to God. Again, this mystery that was previously thought by the Jewish people, that not just everybody could come to God. It was kind of like God's ours. You go find your own God, small g. And yet he says, no, it's here. For everyone, we're all to be able to partake of the same truth. We can have the same God, whether we're Jew or Gentile. Another translation of verse 6 says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. And so the heart of the mystery, back in the Old Testament period, Jewish people were instruments through whom God worked. And they were God's chosen people, still are. But many of them mistakenly believed that they were exclusively God's people and that God had no interest in the Gentiles or any other non-Jewish people. But we see here in verse 6, he identifies that mistake and reveals the truth, the heart of the mystery, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And so Paul's revealing here that people of any background, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, whatever, it was no longer just a Jewish thing. It's this truth is for everyone. The gospel's for everyone. And then he goes on to write there in verse 8, he says, unto me, who am less than all the saints. Paul's a pretty humble fellow. But he goes on to say, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? So God wants everybody to hear the gospel. They want to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to help us to see that we are indeed all sinners and we need a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is that Savior. He did everything that was necessary to provide for our salvation on the cross. He died in our place. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die, to be eternally separated from God because of our sin. And yet Christ died in our place. And he shed his blood, and that blood, shed blood of Christ, is capable of cleansing away our sins. Not automatic. You know, Christ died, everybody goes to heaven. No, it's we have a responsibility to believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. He shed his blood for me. And that I'm the sinner, and I need here a Savior. And so we saw here in our studies earlier here in Ephesians that Christ tore down that barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. And we need to tear down any barriers that may be between us and other people, whether it's race or nationality or something else that turns you off to a certain group of people that somehow might keep you from sharing the gospel with them. God doesn't want anybody excluded. And he wants everybody to be able to hear. And so he uses Paul here to make that mystery plain, that it's been revealed God desires an inclusive relationship. He wants everybody to be able to be a part of this. And so because Paul was doing what God wanted him to do, he ends up in prison preaching, teaching about the gospel. And that's where he's writing this letter to the Ephesian believers. He's in prison. And Paul needed encouragement just like the rest of us. He faced danger in preaching the gospel. It had been safer for him not to have done so, but he was doing what God wanted him to do. But the Lord encouraged him as he was in Corinth. There in Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and following, it says, "Then spake the Lord unto Paul in a night by vision, be not afraid." Now, why would he tell him that? It's because he was afraid, just like Joshua was. You read Joshua chapter 1. He tells him several times over, be not afraid, because Joshua was afraid of the responsibility of leading the people of Israel. Well, here Paul has a responsibility, as do we, to share the gospel with everybody. But he tells them, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, which for Paul was a long time, teaching the word of God among them. And so Paul faced his fear in seeking to get the gospel message out. He had access through prayer, which we do as well. We can be encouraged through the word of God and his spirit speaking to our spirit. We've all had struggles at times. We've come across problems and situations that are bigger than we're able to handle. We don't know the outcome. How's this going to all work out? And we need the Lord's help to help us make wise decisions, when to maybe change directions in our lives. And so we pray, we ask the Lord for the help, and he's there and will respond. The thing is, we all need this. But up till this point, it was the Gentiles seem to be kind of left out. They've been on the outside looking in. They didn't have able to have this kind of relationship with the Lord. But now they can. Now we're able to have that yet today. We can have access to God, both Jew and Gentile. The Gentiles were really excited about this. But some of the Jews were rather upset because they thought it was just for them, and these Gentiles should go someplace else, find some other God. Well, our relationship with the Lord is one that we can all enjoy, even though the Jewish people of that day, many of them wanted it to be an exclusive thing just for Jews. But Paul's telling you had it all wrong. God wants to include these people. He makes that pretty clear there in verse 6. that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Okay, we're in this together. It's like if you've been adopted into a family, mom and dad die and they're divvying up the stuff. You are a fellow heir of the different things. Well, we as Gentiles have been grafted in, brought into the family of God. We're fellow heirs along with the Jewish people. We're part of the same body. Isn't the Jews over here and the Gentiles over here? We're all mixed together. We're all together in that same body. We're partakers of the privileges and the promises that God has given to us. And Paul pictures this inclusion into God's family like a branch being grafted into a tree. Now, I heard a story about a fellow who had done some work in tree nurseries when he was young, and he had an apple tree. And he decided he was going to graft in some other things. And so he took a sharp knife and he made some slits in the branch that was on the tree, and took the saplings off of other trees, one from a pear tree, another from a peach tree, and grafted it in and wrapped it all up. And as that tree matured, it said that there were apples and pears and peaches on this tree. Now, I kind of wondered about that, tried to look it up. One site said, that was possible. Another one said it wouldn't. But here, as Christians, we've been grafted in to God's family. We're a part of it. We have every right to be a part of it. We're a part of this group that the Bible calls the church. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you've trusted Christ as Savior, then they're a part of God's family, Jews and Gentiles. And we all need to learn this truth. And sometimes we get out of sort with another believer. But we need to remember they are also a brother and sister in Christ. They're going to be with us throughout eternity. We are going to get along when we get to heaven, but we need to also learn to get along here and now as well. And we don't have an exclusive relationship with Christ, an inclusive one. We're all part of God's family. And so this is a part of the mystery that up until New Testament times, until Christ come and the apostles are out preaching, people didn't all understand that. But again, we're able to know what God's like because we're able to see Christ in and through his life, what he says, what he does, what he says. And it's revealed it to us. Well, another mystery comes along here. It's our job to reveal this to the world. The Bible goes on to tell us there in verse 10 through 12. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. And the church it's talking about here is that body of believers. It's a worldwide thing. And all believers are a part of the church, part of the body of Christ. And so he says, being made known by the church, manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And so we're to make known the truth, the gospel, to the world. And we have the same God. Now, when I say that, I don't mean the Muslims and the Buddhists and all the rest, we're all just one big happy family. No. True Christians, true believers have the same God. Again, whether we're Jews or Gentiles. And we have the same mission. We have the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of lies out there today. And you've probably heard some of them. All roads lead to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. Another one is, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Well, people are sincere about a lot of things that are wrong. You, through the ages, back in 1492, when Columbus is sailing the ocean blue, Some people are concerned that they thought the world was flat, and if they went too far, they'd fall off the edge. Well, they were sincere about it, but they were wrong. And people can be sincere about their beliefs on how they're going to get to heaven, but if it doesn't, that's not what the Bible says. It's wrong. And, some say, oh, we're all going to the same place. No, we're not. Some are going to heaven. Some are going to the lake of fire. And it boils down to what you do with Jesus Christ. Will you accept him as your personal savior, or will you reject him? And so we have a job to do, to go, to teach, to preach, to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ with other people, to share the plan of salvation with them, so that they might be able to spend eternity with the Lord as well. Now, Paul could be seen as an administrator. He calls himself a minister. That can also be understood as an administrator or a steward of this mystery. He had the responsibility of getting the word out. Not just Apostle Paul, but all of us as believers. And he says there in verse 7 that he was a steward according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And with that gift came the responsibility there in verse 8 and 9 that he should preach the gospel among the Gentiles and to make all people see what this fellowship of the mystery was. Now, this fellowship is not like we normally think of fellowship. You know, we're going to go downstairs and have fellowship, which means for Baptists, we're going to go downstairs and eat something and talk with each other. Well, that's not quite what it meant here. The idea here behind it is that of stewardship. And so it's the same word that the Bible translates as steward elsewhere. The idea is one who has been given a trust, a responsibility. And in 1 Corinthians 4, 2 and 3, there was it talks about the responsibility. It said there's one thing that must be true of stewards. And he says in 1 Corinthians 4, 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Paul said, as an administrator of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was a faithful steward. He was doing what God wanted him to do. And we need to be faithful stewards of that same truth and that same responsibility. Now, Paul knew that there was ignorance out there. As verse 5 talks about. He says, in other ages or in the past, it wasn't known. There were a lot of things that people didn't know about. But he says, now it's revealed by the Holy Spirit, by the apostles. And so in Paul's day, the idea that all men could come to God, not everybody felt like that was possible. They didn't have that assurance of salvation for eternity. And you've probably heard it today as well. Some people think only privileged people could come and have access to the Lord. Say, oh, I'm too bad. I'm too wicked. I've sinned too much. God can't do anything with me. I'm too far gone. Well, Paul knew that wasn't true, and the Word of God tells us that as well. Paul, if you remember, was a persecutor of Christians, and yet God got a hold of his heart and mind and turned him around, and he can do the same thing for us. It's not like that song says, that we come just as I am. It isn't like you've got to clean up your life and then come to God. Well, we don't clean ourselves up real good. We may start out thinking we're going to change, but we fall back into the same old rut if we're not careful. You know, we're, 3-4 months into the new year, and we stop and think about, what were those New Year's resolutions? What was it I was going to change? What was I going to make different? You know, it's kind of like it's a distant memory. Well, thing is, Paul says, the Lord can change your heart. He doesn't refuse anybody that comes to him. And so we're to be good stewards of the mystery of the gospel. But are we? Are we faithful stewards of getting the gospel out? In all honesty, when's the last time that we've talked to somebody about the Lord? We've shared our faith. We've witnessed to somebody. We've given out a gospel tract. How long has it been? A day? Two? A week? A month? A year? Many years? Folks, we're privileged today. We have the gospel. We have the good news that Jesus can save us from our sins. And yet God has given us that responsibility to get that word out and so that other people can place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. We're thankful for what others have told us and taught us in the past so that we could come to Christ. And he wants us to be that kind of person to somebody else. He writes there in verse 10, to the intent now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And so Paul says he was a good steward of this mystery, the responsibility of the church, of believers, to tell everyone. And the question this morning, though, is, as he touched on here earlier, who's the church? It's not the building. It's not the brick and mortar. It's the believers. It's the body of believers. And, you know, we could be meeting over in the park, and that would be the church. Now, we call this church, but in reality, it's the people. It's not the building. And some folk have got the idea, well, religion is private, and we just don't talk about that. And I don't know where they get that idea, because that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, he says, go. Don't sit there and keep it a secret. Don't be a closet Christian. He says, go, make disciples of every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so our faith is personal, yes, but it's never private. As good stewards, we're to share the truth. It's only good news if it gets to people in time and with everybody. And we've been entrusted to this truth, not to lock it up, not to keep it a secret, but to share it with others. And he says that we can be bold. We can have confidence. Now, we can be bold and confident as we come to the Lord in prayer, and we ought to pray for others that we're going to talk to about the Lord. But he says we can also be bold and confident that God's word won't return void, that it can accomplish a change in the hearts and lives of people. We can't change people, but God can. And he says, according to the eternal purpose which he hath purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. So Paul was confident in his relationship with God, and he wants us to be confident as we approach the Lord. He will hear us. He will listen to us, respond to us, and we can have confidence as we go out to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have confidence in a lot of different things. I was thinking about this, and I used to talk about a prescription written by a doctor. Most of them, it's sent in electronically. But most of you remember, you know, how you go to the doctor, and if they're going to give you a prescription, they write something out in handwriting you can't read, and you take it to the pharmacy, and he looks at it. Maybe that's why that they're doing electronically. Now they can see it's typed out. They can understand what he's saying instead of trying to read the guy's hieroglyphics. But we had confidence that that prescription was going to help us and not hurt us. And so we can have confidence in God, and we can be bold in our faith. I'd like to share with you an illustration about a lighthouse as we close today. And see the comparison, how the gospel and the lighthouse kind of compare, as well as the lighthouse keeper and we as the church. And in the 19th century, lighthouses on the U.S. coast were tended by lighthouse keepers and their families. And if a man tended the light, became ill or disabled, often the work was picked up by some other member of the family. And such was the case with Hosea Lewis. He became the lighthouse keeper on Lime Rock Island in Newport, Rhode Island in 1853, long time ago. Well, Lewis suffered a stroke 4 years later, and at this time his teenage daughter Ida assumed the responsibility for the light. And each day included cleaning the reflectors, trimming the wick, filling the oil reservoir at sunset and at midnight, along with providing for their father's care. And so with these demanding tasks, Ida was unable to continue her schooling. But daily she delivered her siblings to class on the mainland. No matter what the weather, she had to row 500 yards, five football fields, to the mainland. In the mid-1800s, that was unusual to see a woman maneuvering a heavy boat like that. But she became well skilled at handling it. As a teenager, she got a measure of fame at age 16 when she rescued four young men after their boat capsized. She rowed to their aid, hearing their screams and as they were clinging to their overturned craft. And on March 29th, 1869, Ida saved two drowning servicemen from nearby Fort Adams. Public knowledge of Ida's courage spread to Washington, inspiring President Ulysses S. Grant to visit Ida at Newport later that year. Ida went on to rescue two other soldiers in 1881, and she was awarded the U.S. Life-Saving Service Highest Medal. In early February of that year, two soldiers were crossing to Newport to Lime Rock Island on foot, and the ice gave way. Ida, the lighthouse keeper, came running with a rope, ignoring peril to her own self from the weak and rotten ice. She pulled one and then the other to safety. All told, Ida personally saved some 25 people in the 50 plus years of keeping the lighthouse. Her last reported rescue came at age 63 when she saved a friend who had fallen into the water on her visit to Ida there on the island. And asked where she found strength and courage for such a feat, Ida answered, "I don't know. I ain't particularly strong, but the Lord Almighty gives me strength when I have need of it, that's all." I find it interesting that most of her life-saving, took place outside of the lighthouse. Now, I'm sure that the light burning kept many ships and sailors safe from running into the rocks by that light. I think there's a parallel here between the lighthouse and the church. We need both. We need that lighthouse. We need the church. But don't limit our spreading the gospel to just what's inside the church. Most of Ida's life-saving was outside the lighthouse. Most of our life-saving and soul-saving, not that we save them, but sharing the gospel is people outside the church building. And so she went outside of the lighthouse. We need to go outside the church. And like we used to have the little sign up there by the door, we're now entering the mission field. In most cases, that's where most of the unsaved people are at, that we need to share the Lord Jesus Christ with. And so Ida was a faithful steward. She had life-saving skills that she used on everyone. And she was faithful at her task because all these people needed saving. And so it is with a Christian. That's kind of our job title. We're to share the good news of Jesus Christ and help other people to know that Jesus Christ can save people from their sins, forgive their sins, give them that gift of eternal life. We can be lifesavers too, or soul savers. We share the good news of Jesus Christ, and people hear it and respond to it and let them know that they have a Savior and they need to accept Him as their personal Savior. And so the good news, though, is only good news if it gets to people in time, just like with Ida. She can only save people, whether it's rowing the boat and rescuing them or with a rope or whatever, if she got to them in time. And so we have to be careful that we're not too late, just waiting for that perfect timing. Sometimes we get thrust into a situation that we don't maybe feel prepared for. But the Lord wants us to be open and sharing our faith with men and women and boys and girls because they are in need of the gospel message. And so as we think about this, perhaps someone listening here today has never come to that point where they've trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I trust you recognize the fact, as the Bible says, we're all sinners. And because of that sin, we deserve death. There in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we need to look to Jesus Christ. Call out to him. He will save you. He will forgive your sins. He will give you that gift of eternal life if you but place your faith and trust in him alone for salvation. It's great to do that in a church when somebody can sit down with you and share Bible verses so you can see that's indeed what the Bible teaches. But as you're listening today, we don't have that opportunity. But we trust that you can call out to the Lord. You can do that wherever you're at, and God will hear you, and he will respond. And then for believers who already know the Lord, God wants us to, again, be that witness as Paul was. We have that responsibility. We're going to be held responsible when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we don't want to be standing there going, but, you know, and trying to come up with some kind of an excuse as to why we didn't tell others about Christ. We're thankful for the people that were in our life, whether it be a Sunday school teacher or mom or dad or some other family friend that told us about our need for a Savior. And we need to be that kind of person in the lives of somebody else. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and its truth. We pray you'll continue to motivate us to be a speaker, that we speak up for you, that we won't be the closet Christian, the silent, the person who just doesn't tell anybody about what they believe or of their faith or of the hope that they have. Help us to be bold. And we don't have to be rude, but we can be bold and to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and share with them the truth so that they can respond to it. It's not something that's hidden anymore. And we have the responsibility now of getting the word out, the good news of Jesus Christ saves from sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening.